If you have your Bibles, as you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're looking at verses 13 through 16. And it reads, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Verse 15, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Brother Lou, will you open this in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. As many of you know, I spent most of my adult life working in retail management. Over the 3+ decades that I did that, I had the pleasure of working in different types of retail. I've gone from the very high-end, full-service loose diamonds and gemstones to pushing pharmaceuticals and healthcare goods to farm supplies and sporting goods to the big box discount stores to the convenience store. Each store that I managed had a totally different clientele, as one would expect. I have worked in a full-service retailer to where the customer, when they walked in, they had a salesperson walking with them. Brother Tim actually worked there with me for a while, to where you as the consumer would just point, "I want this," and that. You didn't pick anything up. There weren't shopping carts or buggies to go around in the store. There was just a display. And in the basement of that store was all the merchandise. And that salesperson would go and get it and bring it to the front for you. So much so that they would even load it into your vehicle. You didn't have to touch it. It was full service. That's kind of gone by the wayside. To where I've worked in the big box store, to where it's all there. There's your shopping cart, there's your buggy. Go get it yourself, put it in your cart, check out yourself and bag it yourself. So I've been on that whole gamut in retail world itself. So you're probably looking at me and thinking, "Brother Andy, what does shopping in different stores have to do anything with church? How can these two subjects possibly relate? How are you going to tie that into a sermon?" Good luck, my friend. The title for today's sermon is Discount Christianity. The church is under attack by change agents. The one of these targets is unquestionably our worship services and our preaching of the word. One striking change that has occurred over the last 30 years is the new style of preaching. Scripture used to be the sum and substance of our sermon material. It really was. Go back and listen to some old time preachers. They would spit verses after verse after verse after verse after verse after verse. We used to literally drench our sermons and our Bible studies and our lessons with scriptures to back it up. Our preaching was easily identifiable for its sober logic and good sense. You could always tell if you're listening to a radio or if you're listening to a tape at the time, if it was an apostolic preacher or if it was a Baptist preacher or if it was a Methodist preacher or if it was a Catholic priest. You could. You really, truly could. You could tell a huge difference just in the style and in the words that were coming out of their mouths. You didn't have to listen to them attentively. You could just, in passing, oh, yeah. Yeah, I know what that is. That's anointed preaching. Oh, that's some guy just standing there talking. Looking at Acts chapter 26, 25, Paul says like this, but he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. But this is no longer the case in many churches. We don't have that scripture backing it up. Much of the preaching now is dominated by the psychology of man's fallible preconceptions of his own needs. The use of smoke machines, dramatic stage lighting, laser light shows, putting on a show to be entertained for no more than 40 minutes. Every service has a traditional order that they'll go in. We have so many songs that we are going to sing. They go in this order. Then we will take offering. We may have testimony service. We'll have the message for the day. We'll have altar call, if there is one. Sometimes they're not in most churches. Announcements, dismissals, all within the 40-minute time frame so we can go get some Mexican or Chinese. You're in a routine. I mentioned to Sister Shelley, I said, do what I want to do one of these times. I'm going to tell Pastor, hey, I'm going to change things up a little bit. We're going to preach first. And then we're going to sing at the end. So those who don't show up on time might be a little embarrassed to miss the message. It's important to be here. Step on your toes. You need to listen. It's not coming from Andy. Now, preaching is more focus on the stage presence of the preacher and their ability to make you feel warm and fuzzy inside. This new breed of preachers are masters of endearing themselves to the congregation rather than endearing the congregation to Jesus and to the Word of God. Biblical substance has been replaced with emotional sustain. Many are selling out to different denominations and opting for their approach and more concerned with pleasing everybody and not ruffling anyone's feathers to keep the political correctness and not to offend anyone. The old style of preaching was appealing for its good sense, scripture, and logic. The new style of preaching entails showmanship, entertainment, and filled with accolades rather than thus saith the Lord. The discount store mentality. When I began my career in retail, I worked for a huge company that we all know, we all have been in several times. And whenever I started, the idea was to mark them low, stack them high, watch them fly. They wanted to make up that money, that profit in volume. They didn't care about the service that they were providing to the customer. They didn't care about the amount of profit per item. They were just going by volume. The new style of preaching and the change of the sermon content has occurred largely as a result of preoccupation with the numerical growth in a church. Those that preach are afraid to step on anyone's toes, that they may hurt your feelings. Because culture tells us to be nice. Don't offend anyone. Be everybody's friend. Tell them what they want to hear. I'm not a politician. I'm not going to do that. These two men over here that preach often aren't politicians. They're not going to tickle your ears and sugarcoat it for you. Many are now molding their preaching around the discount store felt needs for the audience. By felt needs, it means that a listener's process specific perceptions of what he needs and what he desires and what he wants. It's all about me, what I want. The new style of preaching finds that kind of food. What kind of food are you wanting? What am I going to bring them to feed them? Okay, well, it'll be a cotton candy sermon today. Notice that this approach, by definition, permits man to set the agenda for topic of discussion and not God-given word that he is wanting his people to hear. But if the Bible history shows us anything, it shows us that when man teaches or preaches his own agenda, that this is not the way of God. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23 reads, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh in the direct step his steps. Proverbs 14 and 12 reads, There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end, therefore, are the ways of death. Proverbs 20 and 24 says, Man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Often man clamors for what they want, not what they need. Only God knows what that is. In reality, that is good for man. We must permit God to set the agenda for our preaching and teaching. I could tell you that when Pastor had asked me to do the Sunday school superintendent thing, that was kind of overwhelming for someone who's, I'm not a teacher, that wasn't, I never did that a whole lot. So going through and trying to pray and seek God as far as what is it that we need to cover? What is it that you want us to do? And it takes hours and hours and hours of praying and seeking his face on it. And, okay, you gave me a list. Okay, great. And the teachers know that I have come to some of them and said, hey, Sister Shelley, I need you to teach this class. Pastor, I need you to teach this class. That's not coming from Andy. That's from God giving you direction as far as, okay, this is what we're going to do. This is who I need to teach this class. I don't know what's going on in your lives. I don't know what is affecting you, but I know that he has told me that this is what we need to talk to. This is the person that needs to deliver that. And the same thing goes for in your preaching. It's one of those things that we seek the face of God and we pray and pray and pray. To give a 15, 20 minute sermon, there's 30, 40 hours added to that in the study and making sure you're doing exactly what God wants you to give. Biblical preaching centers on the majors and what God says are man's needs, rather than heartfelt needs. The greatest need of mankind is the straightforward proclamation of the Bible, rather than tickling the ears of people. We need to get away from man's wisdom and get back to God's wisdom. We need to have balanced preaching. Some are now saying that a preacher should never, under any circumstances, offend or create division by his teaching. Yeah. It may be true that some preachers offend inappropriately. They are human. They may hurt your feelings and not mean to do that, or do it purposely maliciously. Some people are that way. On the other hand, the preacher who is patterning his life in teaching after Jesus will inevitably offend some. You are going to get your toes stepped on. I get my toes stepped on. Consider the preaching of Jesus. In John chapter 7, verse 12 reads, "And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him." They're talking about Jesus. "For some said, 'He is a good man.' Others say, 'Nay, but he deceiveth the people.'" Verse 43 in chapter 7 says, "So there was a division among the people because of him." Chapter 10, verse 19 in John says, "There was a division therefore again among the Jews for these sayings." The prevailing mood among many of those that preach or teach is peace at all costs. Smooth it over. Just high level, gloss over it. You don't want to make anybody upset. We don't want people to leave angry. Whatever you do, don't create any kind of division. No one wants division just for the sake of division. Don't get me wrong. Jesus even says in Luke chapter 12, verse 51, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. I tell you, nay, but rather division." Another contrast between the Bible preaching and human ideas about preaching and teaching is seen among those who claim that it is inappropriate for a preacher to call names or speak too directly about false doctrine, a false teacher, or a false church. Their reasoning is that this alienates people and brings unnecessary antagonism. Does this premise, in fact, have biblical support? Jesus labeled false teachers with names such as offsprings of vipers, hypocrites, blind guides, fools, serpents. You can check me. Look in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, chapter 23, verses 15, all the way down to 33. Read it. Paul publicly called people by name, called them out. Demas, Alexander, Peter, Alexander the coppersmith. He called them out for their false teaching. Publicly pinpointing people, groups, and doctrines is biblical if undertaken properly. One also hears a lot these days about the need to have balanced preaching. What is often meant by this affirmation is that the preacher should refrain from anything negative. Keep it positive. Keep it upbeat. Exuberant. Granted, we should speak the truth in love. Our approach in life and preaching should not be dominated by a harsh, critical, or unkind demeanor. Galatians chapter 6 and 1 reads, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 through 25 reads, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the knowledging of the truth." But the Bible repeatedly teaches that the human mind is in frequent need of correction and discipline, that which is negative. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 10 reads, "See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." Wait a minute. You're telling me to tear it down, to destroy it, to throw it down. Now you're telling me to build it and to plant? Ever heard the term, if you've ever served in military or any kind of law enforcement or anything, they're going to break you down to build you up? They do that for a reason, to as far as boost your confidence, to help you create you the perfect soldier that they want or they need for that role. They're building them up. They're making them stronger, making them better. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 2 says, "I charge thee therefore before God and for the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appealing in his kingdom." Verse 2 reads, "Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, and all longsuffering and doctrine." This is a hard for many to accept, but biblical preaching, balanced preaching, can sometimes be offensive and negative. God's proclaimed truth is like a hammer that breaks rocks into pieces. It's referred in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29. James 1 and 21 says, "But if those who will receive with humility, it will save their soul." Another facet of the discount store preaching, if you will, is the instance that certain parts of the Bible, the book, the verse, is never mentioned in the sermon. You can watch a lot of secular different preaching, and there's nothing to back it up. As Brother Joel likes to say, when he goes through, it's like, that's not what the Bible says. That's what man says. That's man's interpretation of what it says, but that's not what the Bible says. Ask him. He knows them. This is a dangerous and sure to bring spiritual destruction, and the biblical history points out this to us in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. "This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written there within. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 reads, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." Why do they have lack of knowledge? Oh, I know why, Pastor, because they show up at worship service, but they don't want to come to Bible study, and they're too busy to come to Sunday school because it's not important, because it doesn't make me feel good. Worship service makes me feel good. That's why I'm going to show up then. Is the knowledge that you're gaining today in worship service going to help you with your salvation when things come your way? Are you going to be able to stand at that time? It goes on to say, "Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children." We read in the New Testament where God has called us all to be priests. It's there. To be witnesses, to go out, to be his voice, to be his disciples. We go back in here, it says, "I will reject thee, thou shalt not be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I told pastor, I said, this won't be a shouting, yeah, woo-hoo sermon. Why do some seem so reluctant to give the book, the chapter, and the verse in their preaching? Perhaps some are threatened by their lack of Bible knowledge, or perhaps some have embraced false doctrines which cannot survive the straightforward scrutiny of the scriptures. Or maybe to them, constantly quoting scripture does not fit well with the modern, sophisticated, educated, smooth, politically correct approach. 1 Peter verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 11 says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20 reads, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God until salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. That is the reason that we need for Scripture. If you'll stand with me. I am so thankful that when I walk in the doors in the back, I know that I'm not walking into some place that has discount Christianity. That whatever comes across the pulpit, whomever is preaching or teaching has spent time in prayer, listening to God's guidance, and has given them words that he wants his people to hear. Now, I know that I'm not just going to get some kind of lip service when I walk in. Sometimes I don't want to hear who's ever talking, what are they preaching about. I don't want to hear what they're teaching about because it stepped on my toes. It made me feel uncomfortable. It's not what Andy wanted to hear, but it's what I needed to hear. It's the words that God has given that person to minister unto them. So next time someone is teaching a Bible study, that is teaching a Sunday school lesson, that is preaching, I ask you to open your ears. Open your heart. Open your mind. Receive what has been given to you. We don't always know what's going on in different people's lives. Don't know why some of the times the sermon that you're given is like, I don't understand, but okay, I'll deliver it. I'll give that message. Because someone needed to hear that. Someone needed to be ministered to it. Someone has a question on like, well, pastor, I didn't come to church on Sunday because I decided I want to watch this person on here. They're evangelical and they do great job. Well, it's the First Baptist Church and I really like their music. It's really great. And the pastor's so laid back and just makes me feel good. You're in the wrong. Sorry. You're in the wrong. You don't always come to church to feel good. You don't. Sometimes you need to come to church for that spiritual feeding. Sometimes you need to eat those vegetables besides eating that meat or eating that dessert that you really like. but you've got to eat your full course so you're balanced. The whole gospel must be taught and preached, not just parts that make us feel good or parts that man picks and chooses whatever they want to believe and follow, but God's word in its entirety. Not portions, not pick and choosing. It's not a la carte, it's not a buffet. This is what you have. All of it, cover to cover. Discount Christianity preaching and teaching will damage your soul for eternity. I ask you to take that to heart today. Think about it. Pray. And next time you come into the house of God, come with an open mind and an open heart and willing to accept what is given to you. Listen to the words and praise Him and worship Him.